is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Live off the record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First, General Insurance Company, Bank of the Bahamas, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Everybody Wins, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Tampa General Hospital, and Wendy's.
Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon. I have to tell you that while today's show is not a replay, not a rerun of a previously recorded show, it is a pre-recorded show because I am unable today to be live with you, but I did want to speak to some issues as currently as I could. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. You can't call us today because, as I indicated, it is a pre-recorded show. But of course, we are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Well, we are on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and also on BTC Flow Channel 612. So I'm reading the newspaper, the Nassau Guardian, and I see the Nassau Guardian carrying a story that talks about a $265 million that was moved from the National Investment Fund by the government to deal with some things, okay? You will recall that the Minister of Finance, Mr. Michael Alkidas, told the country that the National Investment Fund had transferred to it, he said, $700 million in excess borrowings. And of course, you know that we raised issues about this because at the time that he was questioned about who the board of the National Investment Fund was, we indicated, he said actually, that there was no board yet appointed for the National Investment Fund. So we then looking at that situation, asked the question, well, how is that possible? How is it possible for the government of the Bahamas to transfer funds to the National Investment Fund and do so when, in order for an account to be set up of the National Investment Fund, A fund has to be set up by the national, by the board of the National Investment Fund. And that if no board was appointed, how could a board, how could the fund have an account to which the government could transfer monies? How is that possible? The law, the National Investment Funds Act says that only the board can set up an account of any fund of the fund, and that would have to be done through an institution that has been approved by the central bank. And the minister says there is no board of the fund. So to where was $700 million transferred? What account was the $700 million transferred? Now we are being told through a report that the some $265 million was removed from the fund, and that the fund at the end of March had a balance of less than, I think, a million, like 0.2 something million dollars. And the question arises, what is going on? How is this happening, right? So it raises for me a number of questions, just questions. Somebody can answer. By the way, Trey Ramming, who's the director of communications, sent out the opposition, of course, is querying all of this move. What was the $265 million spent on and so forth and so forth? Trey Ramming sent out a message saying that given the queries about the National Investment Fund, he said that that the ministry advised, this is the director of communications quoting the Ministry of Finance, that the Ministry of Finance advised, this is not the Ministry of Finance as a minister, all right? The Treasury has a first lord called the Prime Minister. But the director of communications is quoting the Ministry of Finance, saying the funds were primarily, not only, and not exclusively, primarily used to support the government's airport infrastructure program, which has been publicly announced. Okay. So the funds have been used primarily to support the government's airport infrastructure program. Why though? Why you transfer borrowed funds to the national, excess borrowed funds to the National Investment Fund? You say what? Therefore, no account, because an account has to be set up by the board. And you then now take the money out of the National Investment Fund to fund a program of the government of the Bahamas for the upgrade of airports, which were a part of the government's reporting on all it had done in developing, in upgrading airports throughout the country. I think the number was 14. Why are funds from the National Investment Fund that you put into the fund having to be transferred back to you, the government, to do this? Why was that? You knew that these developments were going on. Why was the money not in the first instance used for that purpose? And was this money used for that purpose in accordance with appropriations by the Parliament of the Bahamas? That's a question we will come to a little later on. Okay, so some of the money went to airports. How much money? To which airports? And this is supposed to be something that the country wants. This is something you are boasted about. Why no press about this? Why no announcements about this? Why no details about this? This is good stuff. And then, okay, so if we take it that some of the monies were used for primarily for the airports, what was the rest of the money used for? Shouldn't the public know? Is this not public funds? What was the rest of the money used for? Now, at the end of March, the balance on the fund stood at some point, $2 million at the end of March. That's the balance. Now, let me see. So the minister said $700 million is transferred. When was that transferred? Because if it was transferred before March, the end of March, then $265 million from $700 million leaves you $435 million unaccounted for. Okay? We've been told 265 was used for airports, among other things. What the other things are, we don't know. But if the minister said that $700 million was transferred, and that was transferred before the end of March, then there's $465 million, $435 million not accounted for. Now, was then $435 million transferred after the end of March? The end of March. Did that happen? And what was that about? And what's the situation with that money? We don't know. Okay? Questions. All right? Now, the thing about government money is this. There's a reason why Parliament is required to provide appropriation of funds. Parliament, in as much as we know, our Parliament has a far too many ministers, members who are in the cabinet, and therefore, really, you have an executive that's really the Parliament. Besides all that, who are not in the cabinet, though, whether most of them are in the option or not, is irrelevant. The fact is that there is a Parliament, it has members, and the executive is accountable to Parliament. That's our law. That's not our opinion. That's not our preference. That's the law. The executive cabinet is accountable to the Parliament. And cabinet can't spend anything the Parliament does not appropriate for. Okay? So when the government borrows money, that borrowed money has to go to the consolidated fund. Okay? Whatever the account is, that account is a part of the consolidated fund. Okay? Those borrowed monies, once utilized, has to be spent in accordance with Parliament. And the only thing Parliament doesn't have a say over how it's spent is our statutory expenditure. That means to pay the Governor General, to pay the judges and them kind of things, or interest expenses, pay government debt. Other than that, you want to buy stamps, Parliament has to approve an amount by head for that to happen. Okay? So You go and you pass a budget. Okay, this the government passes a budget. The government's budget this year is supposed to reflect a $200+ million surplus. And among the things you're doing are airports. You know that, and I know that. The parliament is asked to fund your expenditure. Airports would come under the capital side of the expenditure. And you say to Parliament, well, I'm going to have a surplus, so I really don't have to borrow any money to fund this this budget this year because it's going to be a surplus. But the government, the budget gets passed, and now the government, having transferred $700 million into the National Investment Fund, decides, I don't have enough money for my airports. So I'm going to tap into the monies I sent to the National Investment Fund to an account that wasn't created by the board of the National Investment Fund. And I'm going to pay for these airports. This is $265 million. That's almost the entire capital expenditure allocation for the government for the fiscal year, if not more. So first of all, was this an appropriation approved by the parliament? Or was this transaction something that got around the parliament and so therefore doesn't look like an expenditure in this budget? Because think about it, folks, had this $265 million been expended directly out of the budget and the revenue continued to be what it was, there would be no surplus. Because this would hit the budget as an expenditure. Does it now hit the budget as an expenditure? Because somebody says, no, the National Investment Fund funded this. How does that work? So it left me to ask, okay, there's no board of the National Investment Fund. Therefore, there can't be an account of the National Investment Fund. Who cut the checks to the vendors for the airport if this is what the money was used for and the other things for which the money was used for? Who cut the checks? From which account were the checks? Did the Treasury cut the checks? Is that that's being used to cut the check? Who signs on the checks to pay the vendors out of these borrowed monies that went to the National Investment Fund that now is being used to do these things that represent central government for capital works? How do we make sense of that is the question. How does this work? Is the question. Because to be honest with you, it's kind of hard for me to understand. And I am baffled that rather than answer these matters directly, that the government has decided it's easier or better to have the director of communications issue a statement on behalf of the Ministry of Finance. This is $265 million. A part of what is supposed to be $700 million. I would think for these good things that this money is being spent on, that there would be a delight to actually provide the details on it. You're doing airports in, it can't be airports in Cat Island because the IDB is funding the airport in Cat Island. Wasn't the IDB with the Prime Minister in Cat Island observing, was it the IDB or whoever the funder was observing what was happening at the airport? Where the Prime Minister was viewing the airport in Cat Island, the airport development in Cat Island. Huh? What was, so I thought that was funded. Right? But these are good things. You're doing an airport in Cat Island. You're doing an airport in Exuma. You're doing an airport in other islands, and they're being upgraded, and that's wonderful. It changes the trajectory of development for these islands, and it has to be funded. And so I'm happy to tell you that we just moved $265 million from the National Investment Fund to do this. I mean, we've had huge announcements. We've had press conferences. We've had celebration signings for things much less than $265 million in expenditure for infrastructure improvements at the airports in the Family Islands. We have. This would be a glorious day. This is progress. But we do not. Instead, what we get is a statement as a reaction to what the opposition said and what people are and the press is querying about. Because this is what the press, the director of communication said, following a media inquiry from Neil Hartnell. So this is not, I want you all to know what's going on, but we're doing these wonderful things we don't know. Neil Hartnell of the Tribune is asking questions, and the Senator Latre Raming, the director of communications, is responding to that and saying, regarding the reduction in the National Investment Fund balance, he said, I sought clarification directly from the Ministry of Finance. I sought. And then he goes on to say the National Investment Funds Act 2022 establishes the fund's governance and reporting framework that we know, including a 5-member board of governors with representation from the Central Bank of the Bahamas. The act also requires reporting on the fund's financial position on the withdrawals. All of this we know. I shared this information with all of you weeks and weeks ago. We know that. Says the opposition should therefore await the publication of the fund's report. Really? Seriously? So Neil Hartnell, think about this now. This is the Trey Raming's communication. Neil Hartnell raises a question. He's a member of the press, not the opposition. But this statement by him finishes up about the opposition. Y'all see what's happening here? Do you see what's going on here? Look at it and watch it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. We'll roll with the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmiss.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ash Eye Institute, BEMC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
At Everybody Wins Live, the winning is bigger, the action is hotter, and the excitement never stops. We're giving away thousands in cash and free spins every month through our high-paying casino tournament. From Spin-Off to Spin Rush to our high-energy slot race tournament, your next spin can turn into your next payday. But that's not all. Lottery players can chase the jackpot, where every $10 lottery spend gets you one step closer to bursting the next jackpot. Will you be our next winner? What are you waiting for? Visit Everybody Wins Live to see all the ways you can cash in.
Wendy's is spicing things up this summer with the new Jalapeno Ranch Cheeseburger. A hot, juicy beef patty topped with spicy jalapenos, creamy ranch sauce, melted cheese, and fresh toppings for the perfect balance of cool and spicy. Every bite brings bold flavor that keeps you coming back for more. Turn up the flavor with the new Jalapeno Ranch Cheeseburger at Wendy's today. Available for a limited time only.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing. But silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me. And I Cora?
No, ma, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them, and the messages get on mix-up before it leaves your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. This is, again, I remind you, a pre-recorded show. It's not a replay of a show. I've never done this show before. It's a pre-recorded show. I'm still in transition traveling and didn't want to be away from you, even if not live in the way that we normally do it, and so that's why I'm here with you today. So no calls today, but of course you know you can listen to us on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. We've been talking about the issues around the $265 million that is said to have been moved from the National Investment Fund of the $700 million, which the Minister of Finance said was transferred to the funds under circumstances that remain yet uncertain because of the fact that there is no board of the fund. And if there's no board of the fund, then the law requires that the board sets up an account. Where was the $700 million sent to, et cetera? I've raised some questions about this matter. I don't know that we get any answers. I don't think Mr. Latrey Raming, Senator, provided any clarification. In fact, only perhaps raised maybe more questions in the statement that he put out about this matter. I said and indicated that that Fitch had said that the government would not meet its $224 million surplus, instead having $35 million deficit, but it was $65 million that Fitch said it would have, $65 million. And that I indicated that if, in fact, the government had to use the normal mechanism of public expenditure on these airports that Senator Raming says that the $265 million was used for, that it would hit the government's expenditure. And unless there was revenue to counteract the impact of that, that this would mean a $41 million deficit for the government and not a $224 million deficit. And so again, is this the reason why the government is choosing to do what it's doing? Not having the National Investment Fund operate in the way that the Prime Minister himself suggested that it would operate, as a means of transparently partnering with private sector to ensure that the public wouldn't have to be the one paying for through taxes or borrowings these public infrastructure programs, because this particular transaction, if Senator Raming is to be believed, does not fit that bill. This is borrowed government money placed in the NIF under circumstances that require explanation and clarification, and then used to fund primarily airports infrastructure. Which means that it's not being done in the way that it would normally be done, and therefore could only be doing to get around this expenditure impacting the budget outcome. That could be the only reason I could see. It doesn't answer the question, where's the other $465 million for the fund either? So that remains outstanding. But I did want to say to you this, and I want, this is really where not just the Bahamas is at, but this is where people across the globe are at when it comes to fiscal realities, financial government budget financing realities. First of all, the numbers that the government is working with, these numbers are so out of the ordinary for ordinary citizens. Your life, the vast majority of you and us, our lives are not operating in the multiple millions, the hundreds of millions. That's not where our world is. You know, we are operating on modest financing and, you know, so these big numbers, like, at some point you don't become numb to them. They're just like video game numbers for you, right? They're not real. I mean, they mean something, but you grasping the extent that somebody is just moving $265 million from here to there, and don't feel any compulsion to tell me. It's just like, what do you do with that? That's not real anything to me. It was my $500 they take on the bank. I'm raising Keen, right? But this is our money, but it ain't really my money. And so these people are, and it is our money, but it ain't really their money. So moving it around and doing what you want to do with it, lose some of it, what difference does it make to me, to them? So there's a way in which this all becomes abstract, removed from my reality. And so when things like this happen, you ain't gonna make no noise about it. Because you ain't got the time to make no noise about it. You can't even grasp the extent of it. And so they carry on, they press on. And then we move on to the next thing. We have to change that, though. I mean, not everybody will. Many people won't. But enough of us have to change that to say, listen to me. Let me tell you all something. Every nickel and every dime the government spends has to be paid for by the payment public and visitors to the Bahamas. Every dime, every nickel. There's no, whether it's borrowed money or it is tax receipts or it is fees receipts, it's all your money. And whatever interest rate from the borrowing has to be paid by Bahamian public. And I am telling you, I take my word for it, but I'm going to tell you it because I have to tell you it. These chickens come home to roost when we don't do it right. These chickens come home to roost in one form or another. We will pay the price for poor management, mismanagement, or corrupt management of public funds. Let me say it again. We will pay the price for poor management, mismanagement, or corrupt management of public funds. There's no question about it. And you know something? You don't have to care. Because maybe you won't pay the price. Maybe you're 70, 80, 90, 60. And you may be gone by the time the price comes due. But do you love your children? Do you love their children? I mean, I'm serious. Do you want them to pay that price? Because the price will be paid. It always is. And no amount of juggling, no amount of sleight of hand will change the reality of a bill that comes due. Sometimes, you know, I've had this experience. I've literally had this experience. Sometimes you have a debt and it's hanging out there and, you know, things are happening, your money's coming in. It's not that you don't want to pay the debt, not that you're not going to pay the debt, but other things can kick in that you think is more priority. Even sometimes where you feel like, you know, I'm spending my money on this bill and that bill, but I really want to do this because I need the time to rest or I need the time to recreate, and so I'm going to spend it on this, and the bill is coming due, right? At some point, you know, it catches up to you and somebody says, okay, enough of that. Now, you could have dealt with the matter in increments. Now you have to deal with the matter in a full-blown payment. And it becomes hard and challenging to do it. When it didn't happen, because at some point, the chickens come home to roost. And we have to acknowledge that. And I'm telling you, you guys, listen to me in the Bahamas, right? This is true elsewhere in the world too. And trust me when I tell you I get it. Chicago, I'm not making a whole lot of money. Or the money I'm making is all spent. And it's, you know, it's rough, and I'm trying to raise my family. I'm trying to take care of my family. And honestly, I got to think about work, and I got to think about home, and I got to think about this. And by having the headspace, if I were to think about this government stuff and all this other stuff, it's hard. I don't know how to do it. I get that. But whatever time, whatever opportunity you get, to think about it, consider it. Think about it and consider it. And whatever opportunity you have to make an input, to have your say in it, have your say in it. Because it matters. It matters a great deal. Because if you don't care, or if it's perceived that you don't care enough, or you won't do anything about this stuff, you don't get different behavior from the people whose responsibility it is to manage this stuff. You don't. They will carry on, do what they please, and I'm talking about don't make no difference who it is, FNM, PLP, COI, DNA, it don't matter. Politicians who don't feel the pressure of scrutiny, don't feel the pressure of public commentary, don't take account of your thoughts. That's reality. They don't. On a rare occasion, you may find a group of politicians who have risen to the level of conscientiousness that they almost instinctively are inclined to operate on certain principles that would benefit you in the way they conduct themselves, so transparently, accountably, and that kind of way. But you don't get out of government good governance without significant press for accountability. It doesn't happen. It will never happen. And especially when they have been returned to office, they come to the governance exercise with a certain level of confidence, some might even say arrogance, that says, man, these people voted me and they like what I'm doing. You know, people make that mistake in relationships and think because people stay with you, it's because they like everything you're doing. That's not true. And not true. Sometimes people stay with you because, well, on balance, they think, okay, I'll stay with you. Or not enough people came out to say, I don't want you no more. Don't do anything about it. But in the end, you still pay the price. And so if you want different, you have to be vigilant. That's the price of democracy, of sustaining it, is vigilance. The price of good governance is vigilance. That's reality. Okay? So don't let people flip the script on you. If the media and the public ask a question, don't let them flip it to the opposition. Don't let them do that. No. Don't try and make this no partisan conversation. I'm asking the question. The media, public, not the opposition. And if the opposition asks the question, that's their job. That's what they hired to do. Let them do their jobs. And if you answer them, and if you answer to the public, and if you answer the media, answer them like you think they are intelligent, that they could read, that they could understand. You can't answer them and don't think that they can't read and comprehend. For instance, you can't answer a query about what happened to $265 million. Think it's adequate to simply say it was spent primarily on airport infrastructure. What does that mean? Airport infrastructure. We are an archipelago. Airports where? How much where? To do what? What was the modality? Were the direct awards or competitive awards? What happened? That's all I get? Is primarily airport infrastructure? No. Then you can't tell me that the National Investment Fund has a governing framework and it has a board and that kind of stuff. And you don't appoint no board. And a National Investment Fund was passed more than 2 years ago. There's no board to do all the things that is required of it in the act. And you want me to wait for a report from an entity that don't have a board. How does that work? How could you, suppose I asked you to give me a report from the cabinet, and there was no cabinet appointed. How's that work? Can't work. It's just so curious. And I think that we can do better and that we should do better. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef, topped with melty king mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on the sesame seed bun, classic style. Big flavor, big protein, big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money, only at Burger King Nassau.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Thank you for joining us for this pre-recorded show, not a replay of a show, but a pre-recording of a show. So this has never been aired before. I'm in transition, traveling, and would not have been able to do the show live, but thought that I would put some thoughts to you about some matters that I'm observing. And so here we are today. No calls. If you want, you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612 or Cable Bahamas Channel 969. We have heard from the Prime Minister on DPL. We have heard from the Minister responsible for DPL. We have heard from the chairman of the board of BPL. We have heard from the CEO of BPL. We have heard from the COO of BPL. We have heard from the CEO of BGC finally. And the former Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Dr. Hubert Minnis, says they are all talking foolishness. He said they're talking fool nonsense. Now, those are his words. I did say to you in a previous show that that what they are saying is not taking hold. People are not buying it. They're not. Actually, when BGC, that's Bahama Grid Company, when their CEO joined the fray, and I think ultimately people's takeaway was he said, go sit on the beach or go to the beach. It did not add anything to the conversation to help bring any clarity to what is going on. Right? And I don't even know if at this point it could. Because the entire way that this energy reform program has unfolded, has doused it with spoiled milk. The entire way it was launched, unfolded in a way that just left a sour taste in the mouths of the Bahamian public. Too little information, shrouded in too much secrecy, then confused by a document dump and a continuing level of murkiness about the relationships involved with what is supposed to be a progress generating reform program, that now the realities on the ground are hitting the Bahamian public, I mean, in their most tender parts. And they remain without clarity, one, as to what in fact is going on, two, who really is responsible for what, and three, where is the end in sight for the whole deal. Even if the lights are on, the public is still filled with anxiety. When is the next big one? Which is not supposed to be the reality of a energy reform scenario. It is not supposed to be going this way. And so people are anxious, frustrated, and concerned. And it goes back to, listen to me, folks, get mad with me if you want. I really can't. I can't help if that's going to happen. But goes back to how we are governing. Okay? See, the private people involved with these deals, they weren't elected. They're not accountable to us. If they even get good deals for themselves, that's fine. If they get to get $8 million a month paid to them, as I'm told BGC gets paid to it, for what expenditure and netting off what, I don't know. But that's I can't blame them. I'm not getting in no discussions with them, and they may get mad with me for mentioning it on whatever, but you can't get mad with them. They got a deal. They weren't hired by people of the Bahamas to work on their behalf. The government was. And it is the government's responsibility to bring you along the way. Not by flowery words, not by inflated promises, but by details about how a thing works, why it works, what the prospects are for outcomes, why you believe that this is the way, and what is the evidence to support the proposition you are putting forward as to why. You can get behind that. And to carry you along the way, you know, we thought that at this point, we would be here, 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 and here. But having examined the technical realities on the ground, it now appears that we have to make this adjustment in our trajectory. And it may cause you some disruption in a period of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. But we are confident that around about this time or so, we should be out of the fire. Keep bringing people along. Don't duck, don't dodge, don't slide. Face the music. Just like when you have an announcement positive to make, face the music. You get to brag about spending money, face the music. And when the money get wasted, face the music. Make sense. Have coherent messages. But people still may not be happy with you. But I can tell you one thing. If you do your job well, even when things go bad, you have nothing to shake your head, you to hang your head down for. And reasonable people. See, I tell people, even on this show, I speak to the community of the reasonable, not the unreasonable. If you're unreasonable and don't like me and what I say, I can't do anything about that. If you're unreasonable and like everything I say and what have you, I can't do anything. But if you're reasonable and you query what I say, I could deal with that. If you're reasonable and you compliment and commend what I say, I could deal with that too. The community of the reasonable, you can't do nothing but unreasonable people, man. What's a reasonable person? Listen to the facts, or listen to the argument, or listen to the statements, assess it against what they know, believe, or understand, and then make an assessment, and if they want to, communicate that, deal with that. It can't be a reasonable. You are not reasonable if you dislike somebody simply because they PLP. You are not reasonable if you dislike somebody simply because they FNM. You are not reasonable if you dislike somebody simply because they COI or DNA. You are not reasonable if you disregard somebody's comments simply because they FNM or PLP or DNA or COI. You are not reasonable. You are not. If every time somebody comments and says something against your party, you're going to cuss them as being against your party all the time, you're not reasonable. And you ain't reasonable if you ain't no thinking person. If you're not even willing to listen
and take in and try to comprehend and understand, even to understand if you would disagree. You are not reasonable, and I don't really spend a lot of time trying to take up with people who are not reasonable. And you could tell. It don't take long to know an unreasonable person. It does not. And unreasonable people could be a prime minister, could be a minister, could be a senator, could be a member of parliament, could be a judge, could be anybody. And people can be unreasonable sometimes just in circumstances. So unreasonableness isn't correlated with any other factor except reasonableness. It is directly inverted with reasonableness, meaning the more reasonable a person is, the less unreasonable that person is. And perfectly correlated. I mean, I believe, right? So we have to be more serious, both as a public and as public servants, about the work that we are doing. When it's time to laugh, laugh. That's a different joke time. But you can't be laughing with me and cracking with me and playing with me and flipping with me on matters of a serious nature, and you spending tens of millions of dollars and moving and dealing with tens of millions of dollars of public funds. I expect you to make and earn your keep. Stop joking. Keep playing the politics if you wish. I mean, you know, you're a politician, play the politics if you wish. And trust me when I tell you. Ingram was in office for two terms, you know, consecutively. Was he in office for three terms consecutively? No, he wasn't. Selinda was in office for five terms consecutively. Was he in office for six terms consecutively? Uh-uh. Everything comes to an end. Everything. And if it ends, you know, it matters more than anything else. Not that it ends, but that you did what you thought and could do to be as capable and competent in doing what you do as you did. And don't live under no fantasy. A leader needs to have the ability to look at what he or she does and says, you know what, that was not good work. That wasn't even, you know, forget that wasn't my best work. It wasn't good work. Okay? You got to be able to do that, or say, listen, I did, that was doggone good work. They may not have thought so, but I'm good. I'm comfortable with that. Don't fool yourself now. Don't fool yourself. It might be a little difficult. You know, somebody said something to me the other day. Someone said, ask yourself, do you know anyone who has ever admitted to being prideful? Ever. Said people will admit they were wrong. People will admit that they are loud. Say, but it's a rare, rare thing to find anyone who admits that they're prideful. I have never seen any such admission. Never. I've said to people, I said, you know, I could see why some people may have said that I'm arrogant. I said, because if arrogance is not given sufficient deference to what other people think, I said, I could definitely see where on occasions that's been the case or could have been perceived to be the case. But I never come and say I've been prideful. They said, because pride is one of the most deceptive and subtle of all the vices humans can have, and it's the most dangerous. You know what? I didn't say one of the most dangerous. It's the most dangerous. Pride is the most dangerous. Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It was pride that led Lucifer to believe that he could ascend to the throne of God. Pride. Very subtle, you know? This, and And pride, pride is something that makes us, we always say pride means you think you're better than other people.
Yeah.
Pride is worse than that. Pride is a kind of way you also divide people. Because it says it's me or us and them. Are we better than them? We win, so we're better than them. Hmm? We got appointed, so we're better than them. We got elected, so we're better than them. So meaning, I don't see them as a member of our thing. Problem with that is, they may not be a member of the FNM or the PLP, but they're a member of the Bahamian society. They're a member of the Bahamian community. They're a member of the Bahamian citizenry. And what's the difference, therefore, between you and them? You have to be careful. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
It may be hot outside, but you can stay cool knowing BOB is backing your summer plans. That's because summer starts with Bank of the Bahamas.
Whether you're paying school fees, planning home improvements, or taking a much-needed vacation, BOB offers the lowest consumer loan rate in the country, and we will beat any rate offered by 1%.
So don't sweat the small stuff. Let BOB help you take care of business so you can get to summer fun. Apply for your BOB summer loan today.
BOB, your bank of solutions.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply.
World-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa. Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today for these remaining moments of the show. Again, thank you for listening in. This is not a replayed show. It's a pre-recorded show, so it's not live. So there's no phone calls you can make today. But we're happy that you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. I have had the opportunity over the last few days to spend time with lots of intelligent, professional people who have a great deal of knowledge, understanding, and involvement in the U.S. economy. The U.S. Investment environment, financial community, great deal. Some of them who are in their 80s, some of them who are in their 70s, some of them who are in their 60s, some of them who are in their 50s, some of them who are in their 40s. And to do so in an environment in Maine. Maine is the easternmost state in the United States. In fact, where I am in Maine is about a 15-minute drive from New Brunswick. And the environment is the meetings are held at a campsite in an area of Maine near the Grand Lakes, where a great deal of mills used to be, but this area, thousands and thousands of acres, and it's all now held by a land trust that preserves the area. Is such that for decades and decades and decades and centuries, it has not been much changed. It's in an area where I've been able to swim in a lake with crystal clear water, fish on lakes where you can catch salmon and perches and trout and bass and pickerings and these kinds of things, where I've seen bald eagles right in the open. In fact, one of the days in which I was doing some fishing, we caught a suckerfish, which, you know, they don't quite use, and so we threw it back in the water, and the eagle came and swooped the fish up to take back to its nest. And we had lunch at a point called Eagle's Nest, because it has a huge eagle's nest. Huge. Those were there with their young. So I was able to see that. Just a beautiful, natural setting for high-level discussions about happening around the globe. And in these discussions, there were opportunities to examine the emergence of artificial intelligence in the way that it has emerged. And why now? Why didn't artificial intelligence emerge at the place it is now, which is incredible? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, wonderful discussions around why that happened. I'll talk to you about that at some point in the future. To have discussions around the geopolitics of the globe and why it is that the nature of war is changing and to such an extent that these huge countries with these massive militaries with billions and billions of dollars invested can now be defeated by countries that are just now deploying drones to attack them.
at much, much less cost. Why that is the case? We were having discussions around inflation trajectory, particular U.S. inflation, which we import in the Bahamas, and what's driving that, and why food inflation is moving in the direction that it's moving at 2.5% into the near future. Discussions around U.S. interest rates trajectory, of course, that matters because that too impacts the cost of borrowings for us and so forth. If we are looking to U.S. firms to lend to the Bahamas government, the issues around the U.S. federal budget deficit and what's driving that and what's happening, why the partisanship is making what the implications of the partisanship for that. Just a host of very serious, meaningful discussions with people who are sincere, thoughtful, researched. It's just high-level discussions, really enriching discussions with people, and to be able to connect with people. You know, I had roommates who they've invented things like the applications that underpin the E-Pass and Sun Pass and all these things that you might encounter. People who have brought new financial instruments to the market. People who spent decades amassing significant assets under management, and just a really enriching environment. Why do I mention that? I mention it for a couple of reasons. One is, if we really connect with the right kinds of people, and by that I mean people who really have knowledge and expertise that could lend itself to problem solving, it could make it possible for us to solve some of our problems. Some of these people are Bahamians right there at home. Some are Bahamians abroad. Some are foreigners right there at home. Some are foreigners abroad. But there are people who aren't joking, clowning, who aren't wasting time, but who are focused, and whose focus and immersion in certain issues allow them to have a level of competence to guide our own thinking and behavior and conduct and actions so that we can get better results. And that we need to do that more and more, which is one of the reasons why even in my youth program, I believe in exposing young people to talent and skill and opportunities all over the place to stretch them, to expand their network. And man, don't stay in no little cocoon you're in, because that little cocoon you're in is not going to necessarily provide you with all you need to solve your problems and to seize the opportunities that exist in the world for you. So that's one reason. See, another reason is that we can see other people grappling with problems similar to, even if the scale is larger or smaller than our own, and to see how they are thinking through their issues, and to know that in some ways they are as frustrated and as perplexed as we might be about our own issues. And then thirdly, it is because when we rarely connect with people, not connect with them in a purely utilitarian way, you know, what I could get from you, what you could do for me, what I could do for you. But get to connect with them on a human level of interest. So some of these people, as busy as they are, as well-informed as they are, these people are managing billions and billions and billions of dollars right? Billions. Yeah, I didn't say millions, billions. But you sit with them and they have an interest in your nutritional habits, things that you know or understand about nutrition, about wellness, things they understand about family, about parenting, about, building lasting friendships. And you connect with them and they say, listen, man, you know, I'm in the Sarasota area or I'm in the Vermont area and we should get together. You know, here's my card. Let's do that. Let's do this. I'd love to be able to talk to you some more about this and we can hang out and blah, 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 blah. It enriches you because you now are connected to another human being and you've expanded your social network, your social relationships. And for the joys of it, you can laugh, you can, commiserate, you can just be human and appreciate them for who they are and they appreciate you for who you are. It's a great feeling. It's a great way to be. And so there are things happening in the world, meetings, conferences, happening in the world, which honestly, if you have the opportunity and the means, you should explore them. And if you can, you should attend them. And let's grow so we can be of greater service to ourselves, to our family, to our communities, to our country, to the world, and so that we can be happier. Yeah, we can be happier. Every morning, I went out to the lake, sat by the lake, meditated by the lake, washed my face in that cold, pristine water by the lake, prayed by the lake, recalled, reflected on the ancestry of the peoples by this lake. And just trying to soak up as much as I could about this place that I found myself in. And in the evenings, some of them, I went with others and swam in the lake, refreshed myself in the lake. Appreciated more where I was. And so, you know, that was my journey over the last days, enriching, refreshing. And I hope to be able to share some of the details of some of the things we discussed and I picked up for your own enrichment. But so glad you could join us today here on Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Y'all have a fantastic evening.
Take a stand, everybody.